Blog Talk Radio.
Call me Little Bo Beef, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talking cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business, I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the line about rhyming. Devil can't touch this, he pantomiming. He is a liar, so said the lion. Jesus, shelter in my protector. Running to him, be faster than a puma. Holy is a wave, repping the ancient of days. Christ is a big cool home.
All right, all right.
1 second. Thank everybody for joining us on the on another episode of Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Bonabod. Today I got Shaba on the phone with me, but so we gotta kind of mute it a little bit, man. Trying to do what he gotta do for the job. Also, got the boys coming in, calling a little bit too for the show. We'd like to thank everybody for joining us. Coming out, I know it's the Sabbath day. You know what I'm saying? We like everybody to always do what the scriptures say. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. It's the day we should be trying to be upright and enjoy the enjoy this day, because this day it kind of puts us in that mind frame that we start out honoring the Father. Now, anyone that may not be, if my mic is not clear, I'm definitely talking loud enough so I can be heard, but I want to make sure that I'm clear in what I'm saying and what I'm showing, okay? It took it a moment to get my computer up, but it's still me a reader, so any brother out there, if it's Gabar Kawai, if it's, Nawathan, I know you join in. But if brothers can call in, we'd love to have the readers call in. Char, you catch them. I'm going to send this link out real quick to the brother Zaka Ward real fast. 1 second, guys. 1 second. I'm going to send this out to him. Share. Hold on 1 second, you guys, real quick. Just tap that. All right. You know, but I like to, I know we got the Passover coming up. I think at the end of this month, for the ones that are celebrating with the Sword of Truth and with the Virginia camp and the Houston camp, I think the brother's going to be coming out to San Antonio to enjoy the Passover. And for the ones that are maybe in other camps, I think that some of the schools are doing it a little bit later than that actual weekend. So we will, you know, in all ways, we will still be putting to honor the Most High in all that we're doing. We want to thank everybody for coming out and honoring the Sabbath day. The ones going to be traveling, stay safe, you know. And with that, man, we kind of want to start to go into the topic of the chapters. I mean, the topic of the class for tonight. And like we always start out with, thanking everybody for joining us. Breakdowns with Bonabod on Sabbath night. You know, I enjoy teaching the Fridays. I enjoy you know, how the week goes, and you know what the Spirit reveals, and different people I've talked to, or different situations that end up coming up, it always kind of fuels the class for the week. Also, you know, for you brothers and sisters that do join, I think Mashaba told me on Wednesdays, and we'll confirm with Mashaba the day, but on Wednesdays, we have a new teacher to start now. Well, he's not a new teacher, cool man, he's been a beautiful teacher with us, but for years now, you know, Magaya is going to be, you know, starting his history classes on Movement again. And I'm really looking forward to that, because the brother's very, very informative, man, very knowledgeable. I mean, very clear in how he explains it, man, brings it, takes the history from then, kind of ties it into, you know, how we can use it today. We're looking at things, man, and the brother's really, really, I've always enjoyed the guys' classes, and I really believe that you guys will have that opportunity to enjoy those classes. No different like Tazapah. I mean, Blog Talk has some dynamic teachers. And me and Michelle spoke about that earlier today. I rapped to him. Well, there's some dynamic teaching that's going on, man, even from Kaukab with the Portuguese and the Spanish. But shit, just as a teacher, but he's my teacher. I mean, brothers are brilliant in that, you know what I mean? There's a lot of years in the Bible. There's a lot of, I think every brother's, you know what I mean, 30 plus years that they've been in the work and teaching. You know what I'm saying? Setting up camps, other road crews. There's so much wisdom and understanding that's been there. And I have to give a lot of my journey in this truth and my upbringing to these three men. You know what I'm saying? The guy when I was younger, Bimishaw would come from the same place. You know, the years that I spent under Cold Cop's tutelage, just growing and learning. I mean, all of it has been the stage or the platform that's gotten me where I am today. And a part of some of that also is what I based my class around. What I wanted to be able to go and show that is the pattern of the Bible. That is what, from generation to generation to everything else, this is what we're supposed to be inspiring to do. We have to understand that all the things that we go through, we set the stage or we lay down the foundation for the next generation and then the next generation. We have to realize this is who we are. And in this truth, when it comes to your faith, this is what this is about. This Bible and this word is really built on something that we have to stop for a minute to understand the cycle and the way the Father's building this, okay? So, I have to stop and give me a drink of water real fast. So as I go through this, I'm going to kind of, you know, take my time. You know, I'm going to utilize this whole 2 hours. I'm going to talk to the shop. We may have to go to the 3 hours or some of these classes because the teachers are as we're growing and developing, we're growing and we're building classes and doing things, time runs out real quick. And y'all notice that, man. We have to come finish the topic the next week, and then they change up, and then you need to finish that one, and you try to get back to it. So, you know, bits and pieces, we got this truth, so bits and pieces is how the next generation is going to be able to get this word. But when it comes to understanding, I believe that in no place will a brother or a sister lack. The only time I believe that a person lacks in understanding is when they didn't receive enough of the knowledge and enough, they didn't put enough time in allowing someone to develop their understanding. And that's a curse, I believe, that happens to a lot of us or a lot of people. And if you hear echo, let me know because I'm in a big room and there's not much in the room. I'm trying to close doors. I'm on my headphones because I speak a little louder. So I need the feedback. If it's not clear, please let me know. So the point I'm dealing with when it's going was the fact that a lot of our development and understanding is realizing that the time that you put in, the experiences that you go through, they're supposed to be a reminder. It's like this truth is not just about what you read, but it's about experiences that you live out and situations that you have to go into that the Father has to guide you out of so that you can have that to remember what he did, what you're going through, and what he did. And then as you keep living this truth, what ends up happening is you end up in another situation. But you'll realize that the situations aren't that much different. They're similar. And if I use this, if I can remember what the Father did for me in the previous situation, I'm supposed to use that to help me through future situations. We read, as we go through the Bible, we're reading about past situations that we look at today, and we can use those past situations to help us go through what we're going through now. The one thing that we have to do is we have to trust the word. We have to have faith in the word and the power of the Father. The Father always gives us the right answers to get you through. And then when all things have failed and you can't figure out what to do in this situation or that situation, the Father come through and you know it's him because he put it in this person's mind or he made that situation happen for you to get through what you're going through. And this is what faith is. This is what we're supposed to trust, that in every situation the Father is with us, but this is him establishing a relationship with you. If I'm righteous and I now fight every day to live right with the Father, then the more I fight to live right, when I need him, he's there for me. But when I keep trying to go back to my worldly ways of dealing with my problems and my situations, it's only because I don't trust the Father, or I never had faith in him. I believe the words, and I just, you know, I might have believed the Bible, and I believe the scriptures, man, and, you know, and I get a kick out of talking like I'm deep. But we don't realize that at certain points, you have to learn to live the scriptures. That means I have to learn to walk like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, like Noah, like the patriarchs of the Bible. I got to live my life and walk the way they walked and understand that in every situation, the Father made a way out. So for every situation that we go through, the Father has a way out for us. I just have to be able to trust the word, trust that if he said this, he also was going to be there for me. So where are we going to start? Hebrews chapter 11. That's my chapter I'm going to. If anybody knows me, you know I'm a Hebrew guy. I'm a faith guy. I'm a New Testament guy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I love these classes because, you know, this right here is Bible 101. You know what I'm saying? We need these. These are the classes that you need because when you have these classes, you have what you can build your foundation off of. Let me go here. It's Hebrews. I have to look up something real quick. This is where I need I'm going to check some out real quick. Hold on 1 second, guys. Let me just kind of find a definition real quick. Just real quick, I'm going to find this definition because it kind of goes with. Hold on a second. Hold fast with me real quick. I just got to find this real fast. Okay. One second. Do me a favor. Remember your phone numbers. Google something for me real quick.
Yeah.
Can you Google architect?
Architect.
I'm gonna have to use that too. Let's see. Can I borrow it real quick?
Wait, this one.
Or can you send it to that too?
Yeah, I can take
screenshots. Mm-hmm. Nikki,
which one?
T-H-I something? 1 second, guys. I'm sorry. This is in my head, and I want to see if I can put this real quick. T-E-R-C-H-I-T. There we go. Nikki sent it to me. Yes, right one. One second, I think I got it. Hold on. Go. Am I lucky? No. Okay, never mind. All right, let me go here real quick. No, just want to make sure. We're going to go to Hebrews, chapter 11, and I'm going to start at verse 6. That's what I want to go to. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Okay. Come on, Hebrews chapter 11. It's 11 and 6. All right, cool. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to the Most High must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So we understand in this that I have to keep being put in situations where I seek the Father. Beautiful catch there. Because I have to understand that what builds my faith is in every situation, I turn to the Father. So the Father is saying, you know what? Without this element, without you continually turning to me, looking for my help, and that's bad. Because that's the one thing that we struggle with. We want control, not help. We believe that serving the Father is being blessed with, being rewarded with something. Father, you made me rich. Oh, I pray for a man. I pray for this type of man or this type of woman, or I'm praying for this amount of money, or I'm praying for this home, or I'm praying for long health, or all the things that we pray for. The Father's like, without faith, meaning without you seeking me, without you believing that I'm the one that is your help, your strength, your refuge, everything, without that, it's impossible to please the Most High. Without unquestionable belief, I know that in every situation, the person I got to turn to is the Father, in every situation. Without that, it's impossible to please the Most High. And that's easier said than done, because every situation we look for the government to save us. I'm looking for my job to save me. I'm looking for the things that I have accumulated and gotten. Those are my rewards from my hard work. As I said, you can't please me. You can't please me unless you come to me. You don't please me unless you depend on me. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is something that is difficult to do, because every day we're not conditioned from the world that we live in. You're not conditioned to have to turn to the Father every day with everything. We believe that, you know, I can vote my way out of certain problems. We believe that I can, you know, change my job, or let my education be the answer to this problem. Or sometimes I just got to go to a lawyer. I have a lawyer deal with this problem. Or if I have great credit, that's going to be that. Sometimes paying my bills and living right, and just, you know, being wise about how I spend my money and do these different things. Sometimes we can get caught up in believing that these things are the answer to a lot of the problems that we go through. So I don't necessarily need to go to the Father on everything. I don't necessarily need to go to the Bible on everything, because a lot of times I believe that I'm capable, based on what my economical situation is, based on what my educational situation is, based on what my my living status, you know, the support I have around me. There are so many things that we term my street credibility or my street smarts. We will look at all these things, and sometimes we use all these things as the things that we have faith in, we depend on to get us through different problems that we deal with every day. And then all of a sudden, we don't turn to the Father until it's the big ones. The things I'm like, Father, well, I don't know what to do here. So if I don't know what to do here, then this is where I need to go to prayer. The Father's like, nah, that's not enough. Because if you don't really have faith in me, that meaning, and I'm reading the definition of faith, complete trust or complete confidence in the Most High. I can't have that attitude like certain things I need the Father for and certain things I don't. Because that's a lot of the approaches that we have in our minds when we now deal with the Father. That's how we do it. We go to prayer when we feel like we have nothing else that we can do. Then I got to go to prayer. You don't have complete trust in the Father. Let me give you a scenario. This is a person that goes to prayer when they're in the hospital, right? I was in prayer when the doctor came in and said, Mr. Griffin, you have colon cancer or you have high blood pressure, right? And he says, you know what? We may need chemo. We may do this, that, or we got to put you on this medication. And he's like, Lord, let me, everybody want to come around. Let's go set a prayer up. I need my prayer warriors. Everybody wants to be a prayer warrior at this point because we believe this is the time that we need the Father. But there were a lot of things that could have been shown to me. And if I would have turned to the Father early in my life, that may say, my blood pressure has become because I ate too much pork. And I find out that, well, that's an abomination to you. Well, if I'd have been in the Bible, if I'd have turned to the Most High, then I may not have to deal with the repercussions of those problems later because having faith in him or trusting in his word would have only helped me through my life. And this is what my point of faith is. A lot of times we turn it off and on. The things that we feel like we need the Father for, that's when we turn to him. There are times we feel like we don't need the Father and we don't pray to him. Or we won't trust his word. So let me read this real quick. Let me read this. This is the very next scripture, right? This is Hebrews. This is Hebrews chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to start over with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, to verse, and we're going to go 1 and 2, and we're going to take our time as we read this, right? It says, now faith is the substance of things not hoped for, or is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something that starts in the beginning. It's something you come into a situation with, not when you are there, now I turn to the Most High. It's supposed to be, this is what I'm hoping for. So the problem a lot of times is we live life, what do I hope for? I really didn't have a hope. I'm living. And when I need something, when I feel like I got to this point, I feel I need something. Now I pray to the Father. Father, in my health situation, I got to turn to you, Father. When I wasn't hoping for good health, my bills are stuck, Father. I need to win the lotto. I need something that's going to get me, help me with these bills. But I didn't hope for that. I only turn to the Father when I need something. As we go through these patriarchs of faith in this chapter, the one thing that's always consistent is the Father set them in a certain mind frame. When the Spirit, it's like the Spirit in for us, the Spirit will come to us on things. It's like knowing your path and knowing what the Most I want from you. And as I'm on that path, do I trust the Father? It's like the Father putting you in a relationship. It's like it's a woman too. The Most I put you in a relationship with this man for all the right reasons. But he doesn't stack up to the world's values, right? So because he doesn't stack up to the world's values, this may not be the person for me, because we don't like the same movies, we don't like the same music, you know, we don't like the same foods. But spiritually, for some reason, the Father put us together, because it was something that I hoped for. Like the Most I asked my parents, will you send me my woman? She's only my woman in righteousness, because the things that we did in the world, we never would have met, and we didn't do the same things in the world. But when I prayed to the Father, or when I was looking for that other part of me, the Most I knew what I was looking for. So faith is, this is what I hoped for, but I'll never know this is what I hoped for. Because if let me look at it, this is nothing like what I was hoping for. And that's men and women. It's not a profile. It's not like this is this is not like a social media type thing or what are these sites, man? A Christian Mingles. You can't put a profile together in the Spirit, man. Like I'm gonna read that person's profile. I'm gonna read this person's spiritual profile, and they're gonna read my spiritual profile. And you know what? Spiritually, we click. It doesn't work like that. You prayed. The Most I heard your prayer for this person. I'm just using that as an example of a man-woman relationship. It could be man and man. It could be two men in a camp. You know, I prayed to be a part of the work, and I prayed to do this, you know, for the Most High. You came into the truth, and you told the Father, you know, I want to be your servant. And the Father like, oh, you do? Okay, well, I know your spirit, and I'm going to put you in that body with those body of brothers over there. I'm going to make you meet those brothers. Now, do these brothers, whatever they're doing over, this might not have been my idea of what camp life or what serving the Most High was supposed to be. But the Father knew what I hoped for. The Most I know what you're hoping for. He knows the outcome of what you're trying to accomplish. If you got your Hebrew name and your Hebrew name was together, the Most I put me with men, he put me in a situation where I would be able to do what it was that I hoped for. This is what you prayed for. You'd be like, woman, I prayed to the Father to send me a good man. Well, this dude is checking me. He's correcting me. He's doing all these things. For what my spirit needs, this is that good man. The Most High man, the Most High sent me a good woman. You hoped for this woman that would serve you, do this is that. And I give you, but she's a little overweight, but she's short, but she's at home. She don't have that income. It's something that this is not my type. The father wasn't going off of this profile that you put together. He said, if you believe, you trust me. Now, trusting me is a substance of what the things hoped for. You hoped for an outcome. You prayed to me for something. I'm giving it to you, but it's not what you think. It's not how you see it. But this is still going to be the outcome. And you're still going to get what you prayed for or what you asked for, but never how you see it, the way you see it, and the way you want it to be. Because if that was what you were looking for, that's why you fill out a profile. Because when I do a profile and we match profiles, then by profile, this person is what I'm looking for. That you're looking for the profile, not what you're hoping for. And the Father is trying to give you what's hoped for. So I have to have faith that when I go through a process, what was hoped for will be there for me. That's what I have to have faith in. The thing that was discussed, the thing that was promised, it's going to be there. The thing that you pray for will be there, but not the process in the way that you see it. The evidence of things not seen is not going to be the way you see it. It ain't never going to be, yeah, that looks like the path because it looks like what I see. No, you just have to have faith that I'm going to get to the same point. What I pray for is going to come to me. The thing that I want to do for the Father, he's going to use me in that aspect. You want to be my servant. You want to be a teacher. Well, this is the road you got to go down. Well, I just don't see how this road is going to get me to that point of being a teacher. You're right. Trust me. I don't see how this relationship is going to get me what I hoped for. You're right. You're not going to see it. But trust me. That's what faith is. For by it, by that scenario of trusting the Father, not being able to see the outcome, but still trusting the Father that we would still get to this point, get to what you hope for, for by it the elders obtained a good report. This is the stories that made the Bible. These are the things that we go back to remember that made the Bible, because every situation that we can read about was not the road that they planned to go down. There's no way that you can tell me that Abraham planned to put Isaac on as a living sacrifice. So there was no way that you'll tell me that Abraham planned to have his woman, his wife taken, or had to tell the king that his wife was, that was his sister, so they wouldn't kill him. That was not in the plan. But that was the journey. That was the road he had to go down to obtain the things that he hoped for. There was no way you could tell me that Noah was planning to work on an ark for 100 years and teach. But that was the road that he had to go down to get what he hoped for. That's what the scriptures are going to show us. If you, without this, without trusting the Father, it is impossible to please him. If you have your ideas of what you think your journey is to accomplish what the Father is trying to give you, whenever you have that mind frame, it's only because you don't trust the Father. You don't have faith. Trust is something that you can't control. You just have to trust. Trust is something you're never going to see the outcome. You just have to trust. And the fact that they trusted the Father is how they obtained a good report. Now, we're going to read verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, right? Wait a minute, before we go there, we're going to the first Maccabees, chapter 2, real quick. Going to the Apocrypha. Matter of fact, let me, hold on, I got it right here. First Maccabees, hold on, to the Apocrypha, right, is First Maccabees chapter 2, and I'm going to start at verse 51, I think, let me make sure. First Maccabees chapter 2, that's where we want to start at, man. Now we're talking 50. First Maccabees chapter 2 and verse 50. Now therefore, my sons, be ye zealous for the law, and give your lives for the covenant of our fathers. Call to remembrance what acts our fathers did in their time. So shall ye receive great honor and an everlasting name. Verse 52, it says, was not Abraham found faithful in temptation? And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So when I'm reading this part, I'm getting us to understand that what made these elders of a good report is that in every situation, oh yeah, I got you, man. In every situation that these men went down, what made them, what gave them a good report, or what made them righteous, is they allowed themselves to trust the Father. Because we've got to be talking about Abraham, and that there's no way that the things that he was being told to do was something that he would have chose to do. Circumcise your son and all the men. No man thinks of that. No man would have come and said, yeah, man, that's not a good idea. You know what I'm going to do? Everybody's going to be circumcised. But we're going to read these two scriptures real quick, right? Because they go right up in there. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Great scripture. Because his going, the Father is controlling. Remember, you have to remember one thing. Every one of us has something that we hoped for. When you came into this truth, there's something that you said you wanted from the Father, or you wanted to be for the Father. There was something you were trying that you hoped for. The Father's like, okay, I heard your heart. Now let me set you on your path to get to what you hoped for. Your job is to trust me on this path that I have you on, getting you to what you hoped for. Let me read this one, Proverbs 16 and verse 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. In our heart, we do like I was talking about earlier. We try to put a profile together of how we think things should go and be, and then I'm trying to find someone that matches that profile that I put together of what I think things should be and how things should be done. And I'm going to now, I want to work with that person, or I want to be in a relationship with this person because they're closer to the profile that I put together rather than what I'm hoping for. The Father's not going off your profile. That's why you devise that way. But the Most High has been directing your steps. Yes, that was what you devised. You put that profile together. You came up with what you thought would be the right steps and the best thing to go do to get the result that you're trying to get. The father's like, I don't need your help. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you I don't need your help. We're going to do it this way. We're going to go do this, go over your year to get with that guy, or that girl, and you got to work with this woman to get that outcome that you're looking for. But father, I've been teaching her. Okay. But just because you opened the book don't mean she was the one that I was going to use for you to get what you're hoping for. But father, I came to you and prayed to you, and I told you to get me a tall, dark, fit, God-fearing, handsome man with a six-pack abs. I told you to give me him because that's the idea. He likes music like I like music. He likes wearing the same little tight pants I like wearing. You know, he's into fitness and eating like I am. I want him to get what I'm hoping for. And the father's like, no, I gave you that short, chunky, stuttering, bald. I gave you this person, but this person was going to get you what you hoped for. The whole thing is about, do you trust me? Our path in this truth is going through things, proving to the Father that we trust him. We trust his word. We trust the avenues that he's taking us down to accomplish what we hoped for, what we prayed for. But the evidence is going to be things that you don't see. It's happening, but I don't see it. It's happening with this person, but I just don't see how is this person, man? We don't even get along. I don't see how it's happening with this camp, man. I'm using them all every day. How am I accomplishing the goal that you set for me to accomplish, and this is what I'm doing every day? I don't see it. The fact that you don't see it, the fact that it's with the person that you are not compatible with, maybe what the Father calls faith. Trust me enough, and we're going to get there. We're going to get to the thing that's hoped for. Trust me, not the evidence that you see, not the things that you think should be. This is about trusting. And every elder got a good report because he trusted, couldn't see. He just trusted the end result. We're here. Everything that was developed in me, it's there. I didn't have to see it. I didn't have to understand it. It didn't have to always make sense. But if I go back and I ask the Father, if I go back and I think about what I prayed for, then I can ask myself, well, was I getting it? Or did I get there? You know, I always could say, yeah, I did. This might not have been the road I would have chose, but this is the end result that I hoped for. I can always say that. Definitely wasn't the road that I chose, but this is the thing that I hoped for. When I first came in the truth, that's what I asked for. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to serve the Father. I wanted to dedicate my life to him. I wanted to teach. Do I know what the mall had to do with that? I don't have a clue. Do I know what TQM had to do with that? I don't have a clue. Do I know what Albuquerque and California and Florida and Oklahoma, all these places, Texas, what they had to do with that? I don't have a clue. But I know that the result, I'm here at what I hoped for. That's what this is about. being able to trust the Father, being able to understand, Proverbs 16:9 again, a man's heart divided his way. He come up with the game plan. He come up with the profile, the direction he want to do it. But the Most High direct the steps. But for what you're hoping for, the Father know how to get you there. See, you know what I liked about this? The Father has that direct path to get you where you need to go to, if you trust. We beat around the bush and be trying to set up scenarios to get us a little bit of what we're hoping for. And it takes longer for us to get to where you're trying to get to, trying to get to space you longer to get to the things that you hope for because you're trying to do it your way and not trust the path and the method he's taking you down so that you can get what you've hoped for. Now, I'm going to read this scripture real quick. Now, those two go. I'm going to go back to Maccabees real fast, right? Chapter 2, and I want to read. Go back to verse, hold on. One second, guys. Matthew chapter 2, first Maccabees chapter 2 and verse 52, right? It's bad. I'm reading 51 again. Call to remembrance what acts our Father did in their time. So shall you receive great honor and an everlasting name. So we have to look at in their time what was happening to them. Was not Abraham found faithful? This is verse 52. Was not Abraham found faithful in temptation? And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Verse 53. Joseph, in the time of his distress, when I was thrown in jail, let's go back, thrown into a pit, taking his coat, pig's blood was poured on it. Father was told he was dead, sold into slavery, thrown in prison, kept the commandments, and was made Lord of Egypt. And as you read that chapter, you realize as you read that chapter, Israel, when Jacob died, and they had to go to, and the nation or his brothers had to come to Egypt. He was the one that the Most High, through everything the Most High did, he put Joseph in Egypt, and then his brothers, his nephews and nieces, all of that had to come to him, and he took care of them. So how he got there may not have been the road that he wanted to go, but he understood, when you read the end of Genesis, he understood why he went down the path that he went down, and that him ending up here after all that he went through, here was what he was what the nation needed. It was what the Most High needed from him. We don't know what he hoped to be. If Joseph meant to do something for his people, the Most High put him in that position where he was able to. But the road to get there would have never been understood. It would have never been what he would have dictated or determined. Yeah, this is the road that I want to go down. This road is far from the road that I want to go down. But the Father knew what he was doing. Our faith, as we read these stories, is to understand that this person's righteousness and everything that he was put in a position to do, the Father got him there. And what made him upright or righteous is that he trusted the Father to go through whatever it was the Father had him going through so that he would get to this point. That's what faith is about. And that's what a lot of our people, a lot of Israel, don't have. We don't have enough trust in the Father to go down the path that we're going down, the ups and the downs. the temptations, the failures, the success, whatever it may be. We don't have enough faith to go down that road, to stay humble, to not be angry, leave the path, to not turn from the Most High when I'm going through what I'm going through, to go through the temptation. We don't have that because we don't have enough faith in what the Father's doing to get me here. We don't have that. We have faith in what we control. We have faith in what we can prove or see. We don't have faith in Him bringing us out of the side of this. But without that, without faith that the Most High is going to bring me out on the other side, I can't please the Father. I won't go through. I will not go through this. And that is a good portion of our people. And as we keep going through different temptations, different tests, we find ourselves less trusting the Father, less turning to the Father, and more trusting in the things that we control, the things that we can see, the things that look real to us, the things that we feel are a better way of doing something than the way the Father had it set up from the beginning, from the time He started with you down a path. That was the path. You can build a relationship with a woman and a man. This dude is, he don't make good decisions. Well, it may not be a good decision to you only because you're looking for something else. So when you're looking for something else, of course it's not a good decision. You're looking for something, you're looking for a different outlook. But this is not what you hoped for. It's like saying, you didn't come into the truth saying, well, I was looking for a man that would pay my bills. You didn't have to come to the truth for that. Go to college. You'll find a guy that can get a good degree, got a job, got a good degree, and he can pay bills. See, the difference is we came into the truth, right? So when we came into the truth, the thing we looked for was we prayed for a man or a woman, especially a woman, I prayed for a man that would be upright and righteous in the eyes of the Most High. Actually, I prayed for a man, when I learned the Bible, I started praying for a man that could get me to the kingdom. Okay. Oh, you want a man to get you to the kingdom? Okay. Well, it's going to require a lot of this book, not him showing you the Bible and changing you here. But remember, you hoped to get to the kingdom when you came in the truth. You didn't say, well, I hope to have my bills paid. Well, I hope that a man who would take me on vacations and trips. You prayed for a man who would get you to the kingdom. That's why you married. Or, if I'm a man, I prayed. I read that scripture in Genesis chapter 2. Man should not be alone, right? But he's supposed to have a help, because me. Now, somewhere in that breakdown, we read, I look for a help that look good. Not a help that's me. That's the right type of help. I look for somebody who's attractive. And somehow I put attractive and a freak in the sheets or she got money or all these worldly things that I look for in a woman. I tied that in the equation of a help that's meet. She's the right type for me. She's not going to be the right type for you. She's going to be the right type of woman for you to do the job that you said you wanted to do for the Father. So I have to trust, man, the Most High sent me this woman to help me accomplish what I hoped for. Now, everything about this woman may not be anything for the flesh. She ain't wild. She ain't in the gym every day. She ain't banging out this money where I can sit at home and now she work and do it all and I ain't got to really do much. Matter of fact, when I'm doing the work, she's supportive as heck. But when I ain't doing the work, she's a headache. What I'm failing to realize is that, wait, the Most I gave her as a help that's right for me to do the job or get to the place that the Father's trying to get me to, or to the type of work, to the level of work that the Father's trying to get me to, I sent you this help. But when you ain't doing the job, you can't be mad at a person that's not helping me. The Father didn't send her to you just to F off, play around. I only sent this type of person to help you get to where you're trying to get spiritually for me. So as we realize all this, we're starting to understand, I have to have faith in the Father's decisions and the direction that he had me going. I only try to understand it. It doesn't have to always make sense, because this is about, do you trust? If you want something bad enough, do you trust the path that I'm taking you on to get it? And this is what these great men of the Bible did. We're supposed to remember the things that they did and the things that were written that spoke for righteousness for them. Verse 4. Where am I? I'm sorry. Verse 3. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of the Most High, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So you have to look at, it's like saying the words of the Most High, they set court, they set something in motion. This is what set something in motion. Through faith, if I trust the Father, I can understand that words were framed by that the worlds, every our time right now is being set up by the words of the Most High. It's setting things in motion in us. It's setting us down paths. And it is words. It was about opening the camp. It was about doing more work. It was about waking the Most High people. God, brothers, I want to spread this truth. Oh, you do? Okay. Well, let me build this environment, this world, for you to be able to go do what you said you was going to do. That's bad. It said that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of the Most High. We read scriptures, and it was already setting us down a path. That's bad. So that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. The things that we're watching grow. Another guy, Cali, opened his mouth, man, started teaching, and a camp. This camp was developed, was built, but you would have never saw it. It would have never. There's no way. And I can look at every. I know every older brother in this church that came up in the 90s. Look at this the same way that we look at it today, that I look at it today. I don't see how this happened. No one seen social media kid. No one saw from the split of elders, and other men that this truth would get out to the level that it's gotten out. As men have died in this work, in this truth, but this thing has went on and on and on, and God is big. It has reached the globe, man. But no one would have seen that. There was nothing back in the 90s that would have given us any indication that it would have been as big as it is now. That's why I like the scripture. The worlds, the environments, the arenas, the time that's going on right now, from the time before to our elders' time, to our time, to the young men's time now, to the ones to come if Christ ain't came back yet. Every world set on his path was had its foundation built off the words of the Most High. And everyone that appeared, every time we see this thing grow, no one saw anything in their era or that time or their time or in their world that would have indicated that, yeah, I can see this happening because, well, I can see the word getting out to the level it's gotten out because I knew about the internet. Please. Yeah, I could see that the truth was going to get to the West Coast when Ariella was going to go to, when Ariella showed up in the West Coast. Please. Yeah, I knew the truth was going to get into England and these other places because the elders end up going on a trip to Egypt. Please. No one could have seen, foresaw this. But the word did. The Most High's word did. The Most High said his word was going to reach the four corners. And guess what? It did. The Most High said his people, he was going to wake up the nation of Israel. And guess what? He did. This is what faith is about. If he said he was going to wake them up, and I have faith that that happened, he did, then when he said he's going to save us, I better have faith. But it ain't nothing that we can say, I can see this happening because of this. All about having faith in him. Hold that. And I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes in the Apocrypha, all right? Chapter 44. And Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 44. And I'm going to read verse, I'm going to start at verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 44, verse 1. It says, let us now praise famous men and our fathers that begot us. For Lord, it says, the Lord hath wrought great glory by them through his great power from the beginning. And we can, and I can look, just like I can look at those great men in the Bible, I can also look at great men that got this truth and got it to us, and the work that we've done to get it to other men, and the work that's been done to get it to other men. This is to be praised. The sacrifices and the dedication that was done is something that's supposed to be honored. It's supposed to be praised. For the Most High have wrought great glory by them through his great power from the beginning, such as has been ruler, such as be, wait, I'm reading it again. It says, such as did bear rule in their kingdoms. That's why I like the point of talking about the worlds were framed by the word of the Most High. The Most High knew what he was doing, chose these men, and built these men up to rule in their time, in their world, in their kingdoms. Men renowned for their power, giving counsel by their understanding, and declaring prophecies. Leaders of the people by their counsels and by their knowledge. It says, and by their knowledge of learning, meet for the people. They learned and experienced the things that were going to be needed for Israel. These are great men. Everything the Father had him experiencing and going through, everything was being shown to him in the Bible, was building that man to be a leader of his people by their by his counsel and by his knowledge of learning. That's going to be right for the people, wise and eloquent are their instructions. Bad eye. But the Most High said, this is what we're supposed to honor. The fact of these men's experiences and what they did, and you know what's crazy? We look at what they had or the sacrifices that they made. The first thing I know, and I'm just as guilty. I've looked at my elders, the sacrifices they were making. I'm like, man, I wouldn't leave my family. I wouldn't leave my family and go to another country. I ain't gonna lie, when my elder did it, I was like, oh man, you know, he's running. I wouldn't do that. I'm not gonna do that. The father's like, you know what, you lost? You stopped honoring him. You stopped doing what I told you to do. Honor him. Honor him because he is what the people need. He's the right thing for the people. He's the right thing for the nation. I mean, that's the right thing means the right the step. Even just because I didn't understand it don't mean it wasn't the right step, right? Just because I couldn't see it, it doesn't mean it wasn't the right step. A brother could be teaching and teaching and teaching. You're like, man, he's dropping the right things, but yeah, I see it in the Bible, but I don't see where is this relevant to right now? But this man teaching prophecy, and he keep teaching about the end days, and he got that, they call it fire and brimstone teaching. It's always about death and destruction. But how is that relevant to what I'm going through right now? If I have no faith, the one thing I realize is that that man's teaching is meat for the nation. It's meat. It means that old Quaker word, like right. This is the right learning. This is the right teaching for the people. But just because at this moment these things aren't happening doesn't mean it's not the right teaching. This is where I'm supposed to have faith in the fact that the Father put this man over me to teach and guide me. Check this out. It says, oh, this is bad, man. Let us not praise famous men. Right, as we're reading about, right? Verse 5, such as found out musical tunes. Man, they was able to search the music and restrict verses from writing. Rich men furnished with abilities living peaceably in the habitation. They're content. All of a sudden, you know, it's even crazy. We've looked at brothers that have been that, the ones that were content in that situation. I looked at a brother, man, that went to Guatemala, Coco went to Guatemala 20 years ago. Not one day he complained to me about being in Guatemala. I went down for a visit. I didn't last, I don't think, a week. I'm down there, I think I stayed 2 weeks with a brother. I went down there, got bit up by some ants. I got to get out of here. I went down there, man, I couldn't find no pizza spot. I'm looking for McDonald's. He living on beans and rice. And I'm like, dude, man, I'm not learning this language. I'm not coming down in this third world country. I'm not doing this. But the Most High said, that was the person that I was supposed to honor. You praise that man because he is rich in, he's a rich man, a man rich first with abilities, living peaceably in their habitations. They were at peace to serving the Most High. They understood why they were there. They understood what they were doing. But we look down on the fact that they're not, they didn't have any cars yet. It didn't make a difference. How much money was in his bank account? It didn't make a difference. You know, how he was living, and he wasn't eating meat, and I'm eating beans and rice, so whatever I was eating. It didn't make a difference because I knew why I was here. I knew that this was for the nation. And I was always reminded that this move is for the body. I'm here because I'm here for the body. But there were other elders that were the same way. I give myself with the same honor. It's always been a peacefulness in Miami. Live peaceable. It didn't have to have the biggest house. It didn't care about if he had a Bugatti like the rest of the biggest in Miami driving around these fly-ass cars. Shabba would have been a brother. But Shabba would have been a brother that would have been content on a bus. Getting, if he had to take the bus to take his signs and books out the streets, he'd have been on that bus and went and did it. Because he understood why he was doing it for. He understood it was for the body, for the nation. Pleasing the Most High. These are what the scriptures call famous men. They were rich, they were men, rich men, first with abilities, living peaceably in their inhabitants. All these were honored. All these were honored in their generation and were the glory of their times. There be of them that have left a name behind them, that their praises might be reported. Oh, that their praises might be reported. And some there be which have no memorial, who are perished as though they had never been, and are become as though they have never been born, and their children after them. Wow. I'm loving what I'm reading, because for those men that made those sacrifices, they ain't always that the praise came or the glory or the wealth, everything came to them then, but the name lives on. See, men like that will be remembered because of their sacrifices and what they did for the Most High. But all the ones now, we can got the, I said, the big house and all these different things, but where did you go on to do more for the nation? What did you go on and build for the nation? You want your name remembered for the work and the sacrifice that you've done, to have enough faith that the Father knows what he's doing. And let me get up every day to do his will. Let me read on. Let me go to Hebrews chapter 11. Because we're going to read about great men that were remembered. Hebrews 11 and 4. By faith, Abel offered unto the Most High a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's crazy. We're reading about two types of men here. One made sacrifices that were meat for the people, meat for the nation. And you had men that didn't make those same sacrifices. But those men that made those sacrifices for the nation are remembered. The men that didn't, their name is forgotten. What they've done is forgotten. All we know about Cain is that he died. He was cursed and he died. That's the extent of the line of Cain. he married some woman, or he went, he had a curse, and then he died. The extent of Esau, he got a curse, and he died. There's not much that's written about him until we start going out. We have to go through and find Esau. Name was changed, Roman Empire, this is that. We had to go find him. The whole world worships a book that's written about these great men that made sacrifices by faith, trusting in the Most High. Abel offered unto the Most High a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. The Most High testified of him gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. We still remember Cain. We still remember Abel. We do remember Cain, but not for all the right reasons. We remember Cain for what not to do. But even after death, the things that Cain did, the righteousness, or the things that Cain did or Abel did, was what the Most High wanted us to remember. Because these are acts of righteousness. This is the way a man is. Abel's example was the right sacrifices to the Most High. That's how we go back and read it. This is where I'm looking at these things and I'm like, man, sacrifices and the work that a man's done. Those are the things that are remembered. But those are the things that the Most High look at and say, well, look at this man's faith. Some brothers work because they're trying to be remembered. They try to leave a mark in this nation. And you got other brothers that's just trying to leave some money in their bank account. After the bank's closed, all your fame is gone. Your name, after you die, your name is forgotten because you didn't work to leave a mark. You didn't work to do something to do something that's meet or that's right for your nation, for your people. From there, where we at? Hebrews chapter, we're going to jump down to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of the Most High of things not seen as yet. So It hadn't happened. No one ever seen it. But because the Most High said this was going to happen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So from this brother having that sense of urgency and that fear, of the, he had to please the Father. He did. He went and started to make, sacrificed his life to building the ark and the teaching and trying to wake up his nation, trying to save his house. And not just his immediate family, but anyone who would listen and hear would hear and listen. By the which he condemned the world, and being heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. This we're working for, to be a part of that legacy. We want to be a part of those great men that said, man, I knew what was going to happen to this world. I knew what the Father said he was going to do to this world. And when the Father said, come out of her, my people, I did my job to try to wake up as many of my people to get them to come out of the world. I wasn't one that was just trying to make sure that I did enough or said enough to, you know, maybe help them get financially stable here in this world. Because I live here, so, you know, I'm not going to say that we don't need to be financially stable, but I am going to say if the warning is not about, the warning in the scripture is not about being financially stable. The warning in the scripture is, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her plagues. The Most High is trying to get us to come out of America, not try to find some stability here. Meaning that mindset, the way of life, the whole nine. I'm trying to come out of the curses that we're in. If we understand the Bible, we understand that this condition that we live under is a curse. The Most High wants us to stop trying to find comfort in the curse and try to live righteously so that we can be saved out of a curse. So as I'm reading these things, you're looking at whatever Noah understood. If I understood that the Father is going to destroy the earth by water, then I went to work to try to now do the things that he told me to do to save myself, my family, whoever else would listen out of the condition or out of out of the destruction that was going to now hit that time. So the Most High said, I'm not going to destroy the earth by fire, but by water, not by water anymore, but I'm going to destroy it by fire. And we're reading that, and we're supposed to be figuring out, Father, what do you want us to do so that we can be saved from what's about to hit this place? Now it's up to that person. If you believe, then you're going to go to work. So you can work to do whatever you got to do to be saved out of a condition. If you don't believe, then you're going to keep doing what you're doing to just sustain yourself in this condition. But it's up to you. Like I said, as I'm reading, a person have a choice. I can choose. And there's a scripture, man. It says, choose you to stay life and death. One second. It says, choose you to stay life and death. I think it's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Let me get a root C real quick. There's a couple of them. Let me get it real quick. Let me look at this real quick, sir. 15 and 4. Let me see that real quick. Whew. not scripture. We're going to get that too. We'll get that definitely. I think it's Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Let me get to it real fast. let me find it. There you go. Joshua 1 and 8. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah, Joshua 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. No, that's not it. Until choosing this thing. Hold on, let me find it real quick. He said, as for me and my house. Let me get that. It's the one that says, as for me and my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. So there's an official that go on that same line. But the point that we're still getting to is there's that choice that men have. I can leave a name for myself. I can leave a name to them. You know, this is what I did for the nation that speaks for righteousness. That's accounted to me as righteousness because I saw, I understood what the Most High was doing. I understood what was going to happen on this earth, and I went to work making the sacrifices to go ahead and get something done. This was going to be remembered. It didn't have to be, you may, nobody in your time may honor it at all, but it's not for your time. It may be the fact that what you did, the nation was able to benefit from the sacrifices that you made. That is are the things that can be held in or held towards you as righteousness because of what you've done. But we don't see that. Because anytime you have to deal with a sacrifice, that means you're doing the giving. And we live in a world where a giver and a man that don't have, a giver is somebody who don't have anything. Very giving. He's sitting down having to live his life, and the things that he's doing in his life, everybody else is benefiting from it, not him. So those are the guys that we call the suckers, the fools. You know, you throw your life away. You wasted your life for that group. Those brothers, but you ain't got nothing for you. You ain't got nothing to speak for it. Where's your degree? Where's it make you, buddy, pay your bills? After all this is said, you look at a man and he like, man, you know what? They right, man. You know, I need to start doing something for me. I got to start building for me. So I'm like, go ahead, man. You enjoy your life. Because this is, after you dead, you'll be forgotten. After you die, the thing that's going to be said about you is that you had a lifetime. You had an opportunity to sacrifice, to contribute to the saving of your nation, and you chose not to. You chose to save you. You chose to honor and build up you. From there, what was that, Hebrews 11? Let's go back there real quick, right? Squeeze this Romans 15 in too. Hebrews 11. Hold on a second. Brother, call me for a minute. I went off. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read that real quick. Time about to run out. Oh, thank you, sir. It's Joshua. There we go. Let me get that. That's the one I wanted. It's Joshua chapter 24, I think you said. 24 and 15. Come on, Elton. Yep, that's it. Joshua chapter 24. Now we'll read verse 15. Here we go. That's nice. Joshua chapter 24 and 15 says this. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the Most High, which our fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, the Most High forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our power, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the ways wherein we were, and among all the people whom we passed. So we look at the one thing. I love the point we're reading. You look at the point that Joshua was like, if it seemed evil, they're like, you done forgot all that the Most High did. But he's like, I haven't forgotten. If it seems like it's a wicked thing or it's one of those unprofitable things for you to serve the Father, it's time for you to choose this day who you're going to serve. You can choose to remember all that the Father's done for you to bring you out of every situation, or you can keep trying to find some type of honor in this world. That's why I love the poor reading. A man can choose to be remembered. A man can choose to be remembered, or he can choose to be forgotten. It's really up to him. Now, from there, go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 now, and we're going to read verse 8, okay? Great scripture now, done. Hebrews 11. One second. Hebrews 11 and 8. Hebrews 11 and 8, and we're going to read through verse 11, right? And all my time is short, so I'm going to try to get just as many as I can get in real quick Yeah, he found it, took the water. Yeah, that was the one. The water, Zahor. That was it. But we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, right? Because when you read it, you start to look at sacrifices. Sacrifices are the things that the Most High look and honor us on our journey. And look at the sacrifices that you're ready to make for your nation. The changes that you're truly looking to make for your nation. Hold on. You. Get your little butt out of here. You better come out that answer. I got a crazy five-year-old. Go. Get it. Get it. Get it. What you got? Stop, Ollie. Go. Don't you want her? She right here? You down there? Real quick. What else in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 through 10 is where I'm going. All right, I'm going to read that real quick. Here we go. This is by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should afterwards receive as an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents, in tabernacles, with Isaac and Jacob. You look at him, his son, and his grandson. This whole time, I'm dwelling in the land of promise, but as a stranger in the country. There is no house of Abraham. We dwell in tents. The heirs with him in the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is the Most High. So as I'm reading it, I'm understanding that this was about a sacrifice. This man, these three men, their righteousness was built on the fact that they sacrificed their life looking, trying to work to develop. I'm looking for this kingdom. The same kingdom we look for now is the kingdom that they were looking for. The Most High is looking at these are the things that the Father will look at and say, these are men of honor. The things I'm willing to sacrifice for are the things that the Father look at as honorable. These are the things that are called righteous. Because it just wasn't about them. That promise that was made was just made for, it was Abraham and his seed, Isaac and his seed, and Jacob and his son and their seed. But one man had to, these men had to dedicate their life so that their world, their nation, their family would have the reward that the Most High promised to them. So everything that we do now is about us sacrificing so that our children and our children's children, if Christ ain't came back, will still have the promises that were promised to them by the Father. But the Father's looking to see, in your lifetime, do you believe? Do you have enough faith? The Father enough to dedicate your life to righteousness so that the next generation will still have that memory. They'll have those stories. They'll have the acts that you've done to now speak for what it means to be right with the Father, because that's what we have. For the brothers that have been here for three or four decades now. The thing we can fall back on is the work that men did over the course of 50 years, over the course of 60 years. And how this, if they started 60 years ago, has got where it is today. What men did over 30, 35, 40 years ago, and where things have gone today because of the sacrifices. People like High Priest Kazakh or Yeshaya or Lahab or Ariyan, the other elders all of the sacrifices that they made 40 years ago, this is where it is today. These are things that should be honored because these men sacrificed their life to get this word out. When I say sacrifice your life, I'm talking about you died for it. But what I'm talking about is they could still be alive today. But instead of going out and trying to live my life making millions, live my life making sure that I built and left a legacy for me and my family, I left a legacy for my nation. I went out and researched and did work and got breakdowns and books and everything else so that we would have today just to know who we are as a people. Those are great things. These are the men that make great contributions to what we know today. We read the Bible. Our whole outlook on the Bible, our whole ability to identify with the Bible was built on what was passed down, what was searched out. But those are the men that the Most High like looking and said, these are the types of sacrifices that are going to be remembered. It's our time to do the same work so that those sacrifices can be remembered. Creeping up on my time. It always happens to me. Last scripture, man. I'm going to read this. Real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 44. We're going to make it real fast. Make this last scripture because it's almost 10 o'clock and I always lose my time here. But it's Ecclesiastes chapter 44 in the Apocrypha. Right? We're already there. Ecclesiastes chapter 44, and I want you to jump, we're going to jump down to verse 19 now, right? 19, and we're going to read 19 through 22. I'm going to read it fast because I'm going to run out of time. Ecclesiastes chapter 44, verse 19. Abraham was a great father of many people, and glory was there none like unto him, who kept the law of the Most High, and who was in covenant with him. He established the covenant in his flesh, and when he was proven, he was found faithful. Therefore, he assured him by an oath that he would bless the nation in his seed, and that he would multiply him as the dust of the earth, and exalt his seed as the stars, and caused them to inherit from sea to sea, and from the rivers, and from the multitude, it says, and from the utmost parts of the land. With Isaac did he establish likewise. For Abraham was his father's sake, and blessed, and it says, the blessing of all men, and the covenant, and made it rest upon the head of Jacob. He acknowledged him in his blessing, and gave him an inheritance, and divided his portion among the 12 tribes did he part them. So the point I'm reading all this is every man's focus and sacrifice is based on one thing. It was the nation. It was about Israel. It was about the seed. It was about this thing being passed down to the 12 tribes. The Father used these men and what he put them through and their faith and then built and blessed the nation. So we look at these things that are written for our learning. Like the scriptures say, the things written aforetime, they're for us to learn. We've got to understand that our sacrifices and what we do now, we don't know when Christ is coming back, so our investment is for our nation. It's for our people to continue to thrive and grow and serve the Most High. So when I quit and I make the focus about me, I'm forgetting that the Most High looks at righteousness and the sacrifices that I'm willing to make for my people, for my nation, for us being able to be saved out of the condition that we're in. If the scripture says, gather yourselves together, the Most High is looking at one thing. It's our job to go out and gather them. It's our job to go out and inspire them to wake up, come out of the world, and come serve the Most High. That's what we're here for. We're supposed to be the inspiration. We got the Bible. Like the Bible was given to our elders, and what they did was went in, got in that book, expanded the knowledge and understanding so that we would be inspired, that we would be inspired to come out of the world, to put the joint down, to put the cigarettes down, to come up off the churches, to put on fringes and grow our beard, and the women put on dresses and cover their head. Their sacrifices did that. So it's our turn to make the same sacrifices so that our next generation, that next level of Israelites will have even more of an inspiration to come and serve the Most High and get us up out of this condition that we're in. So with that, everyone that's joined, like I said, every Friday, last Friday I missed out. I was traveling. But this Friday coming in or next Friday should be the same. I'm still getting set up. I'm moving. So with that, I'm still working to make sure I got time to do my show. And I want to tell everybody, on Wednesdays, I think that's the day, the guy that teaches, please watch his class. But it's very informative. It's an honor for us to have the level of teaching that it comes with. So, you know, if you can, call in on those days and take an opportunity to get all of the history and wisdom that this man have to give, on top of Mashaba, who's always dedicated, always there, dropping it on us out of love, and then Tazapa on the days that he teaches. So with that, we're going to thank everybody for joining us, and we're going to have everybody, you know, enjoy the Sabbath day. Like the scriptures say, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, Friday sundown, Saturday sundown. This is the day, the Lord's day, so we contribute this day to him. And with that, we're going to thank everybody, and I'm going to say shalom.